The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Yoma, Daf Lamed Vav. In this lecture, we discuss the halacha of eavesdropping. It is a continuation of our lecture for the previous daf, Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. As we noted then, in traditional sources, there is no real discussion of eavesdropping. We find some contemporary discussion. All that discussion is rooted primarily in two loci of classic halachic sugyas. One is hezek ri'ah. Chazal talk about hezek ri'ah, a privacy concern, the impropriety of gazing or staring at the private affairs of another. The other is the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, the ban or the anathema of Rabbeinu Gershom against reading, opening, perusing the correspondence of others. Our previous lecture on Daf Lamed Hey discussed the extension of hezek ri'ah to hezek shmi'ah, the idea that the Talmudic concept of hezek ri'ah can be extended to hearing the secrets of others, hearing others' conversation, and we concluded that many poskim do indeed extend it, do indeed assume that the prohibition and the values of Chazal would be extended to hezek shmi'ah, to eavesdropping. In this lecture, we discuss the application of the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, which in its initial formulation was specific to ksav, cherem shlo liros b'ksav chavero, shlo liros b'ksav sheshalech adam l'chavero, shlo liros b'ksav chavero sheshalech l'chavero. So while the language of the cherem, we don't actually have the initial language, we have terse, fragmentary records of several hundred years later, but in any event, all the early formulations that we have concern ksav. In this lecture, we discuss the attitudes of various poskim about whether that can be extended to hezek shmi'ah, to eavesdropping. Now, in order to understand this discussion, we have to consider the rationales that the poskim have offered for the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. So again, the actual texts, such as they are of Rabbeinu Gershom, are quite brief. They don't mention much in the way of reason, of background. We find in the Achronim five different reasons for the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. Actually, the language of some of the poskim is unclear. It can be unclear whether they are giving sometimes reasons for the cherem, giving additional isurim that parallel the cherem. In any event, in the discussions of cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, we find five different reasons given. The first two appear in a tshuva of the Taras Chaim of the Marchash. One reason is Shol Shlomi Das, Gazlan. He says the person who's opening letters is probably L'shum To'ela Tamagia L'mizeh, for some benefit, Hapoel, not just idle curiosity, which some of the contemporary poskim discuss, but probably the Marchash says it was to gain some advantage. And that's a problem. Havalei D'mishtamish B'shel Chavero B'li Yediyaso. He is utilizing the property of another without his knowledge, without his permission. Afilu dvar mitzvah, even if it is for some noble purpose, uvederach she'elah aser, even if it's only she'elah, he's not going to keep the letter, he's going to return it to its proper owner or to its intended recipient. Even shol shlomi das is aser. Shol shlomi das, we paskin as gazlan, certainly aser. That's the first reason. Then he goes on and says, kol shkein, it's a problem for cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, cherem akadmonim. He seems to imply that the reason of Shol Shlomi Das is separate, prior, independent to the cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom. But in any event, this is one rationale. It's a form of Gneva or Gzela. It's Shol Shlomi Das. Later in the tshuva, he gives a second reason. Mazik, torts. Even though it's only a grama, and even though we say grama ben izakin is pater, that just means ex post facto, imaso pater mitashlumen. You won't be held liable for any form of compensation. It is prohibited to cause, even indirectly, any form of harm. The ain suffix, there is no doubt, the Marchash asserts, such an action of intercepting, of reading someone else's private correspondence, rov pa'amim garim hezek rav, usually will cause great damage, legalo sodas adam, to reveal the secrets of other people. Even if this harm will not be financial harm, there'll be some kind of harm, and therefore it is terribly inappropriate to read private correspondence. A third reason appears in the Halach Ketanas of Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz. He mentions something to do with the Cherem, and then he says, Belav Hachi, independent of the Cherem, again, implying that this is a standalone reason, Nirash Yesh Isser Levake Shulachapes Masdarov Shel Chavero, there is a prohibition against seeking, against searching out the secrets of others. And the reason he gives is, Mali lo selach rachil acherim, rechilus. Rechilos applies equally if I pass tales, I bear tales from one person to another, olatmo, or if I simply glean, learn secrets, and use them for my own enjoyment, my own purposes. That's the form of Rechilos, he says. Two more reasons appear in a tshuva of Rav Chaim Pelagi, in his Chikik HaLev. He mentions the reason of L'Tzelech Rachel, of the Lach Kitanas, and he also adds two other reasons. Me'ezetam, Oster Ben Gershom. He seems to be giving reasons for Ben Gershom, perhaps not standalone reasons. He says, one reason is, V'avtal Recha Kamocha, thou shalt love thy neighbor, thy friend, as thyself. And Chazal explained, Madalach Sani, that which is hateful unto you, L'chav Rachel Savit, do not do unto another. So again, it makes a lot of sense. This would not be a standalone reason. It's hard to argue that anything that I would rather people didn't do to me, it's absolutely ought for me to do to them. For example, in the sugya of Yared Lomnus, of competition, many forms of competition are mutter. Even though if I were the businessman, I were the incumbent, I would certainly rather he didn't do that to me. Nevertheless, it's mutter for me to compete against him. Not everything that I would rather people didn't do to me is absolutely ought for me to do to them. So it's quite plausible that Rav Chaim Pelagi only meant that Rabbeinu Gershom felt this was such an egregious violation of Avtal Recha Kamocha that it was worth making a cheirim for. One other reason he gives, Gnevus Das, Gonev Das Habrias. He says this is not word, this is Logara Mehagonev Das Chavero, Shazehu Yotzer Chomer Shagonev Das Omamish. This is absolute Aaron's Gnevus Das, Shub Matpune Libo. You're stealing secrets that are in the recesses of another's heart, and that is usher because of Gnevus Das. Some have objected that this is a rather unconventional application of the rule of Gnevus Das. All the classic examples of Gnevus Das are not about stealing secrets. They're about utilizing deception, manipulating someone else into gaining some advantage, into owing you a debt of gratitude or giving you something tangible. If you cause him to think that you did a favor for him, that you gave something to him, and you thereby gain unwarranted advantage, that's Gnevus Das. We don't generally find stealing secrets referred to as Gnevus Das. Nevertheless, Professor Nachum Rockover, in his masterful paper on Chen Ben Gershom, Haganah al Tenat HaPrat, says that this is not unreasonable, and he quotes actually at least one precedent where Gnevus Das is used to refer to secret stealing in the Peleoitz. Peleoitz, discussing Gneva, says, there is a form of Gneva, Shadashu Barabim, which is Gnevus Das. Yesh Minim Minim, there are various sorts of Gnevus Das. Haklal Hu, the general rule of Gnevus Das is, Kol Shemishtadel Leida Mashablev Chavera Barov Hadvarim, anyone who strives to learn what is in the heart of another, generally, Hadvarim Gnevus Das Ikri, that is called Gnevus Das, secret stealing, the Oster, unless he's doing it L'Shem Shemayim, which may be a Heter, but that's what Rav Chaim Pelagi seems to be saying too, that stealing someone else's secret is indeed Oster, and it's called Gnevus Das. So these are the five reasons we find the post can give, either in addition to the Chen Rav Meir Gershom, or as rationales for the Chen Rav Meir Gershom. Merchash's two reasons, Shol Shlomi Das is a form of Gnevus or Gzela, and it's often Mazik. The reason of the Halach Ketanas and Rav Chaim Pelagi, the form of Rechilus, Mali L'Telech Rachel L'Acherim, Mali L'Atmo, and the other two reasons of Rav Chaim Pelagi, V'haftal Recha Kamocha, Madalach Tani L'Chav Rech L'Savid, and Gnevus Das. So now we can turn to the question, does the Chayim of Rav Meir Gershom and or all these associated reasons, do they apply to eavesdropping, as opposed to what Rav Meir Gershom was actually discussing, which was reading written correspondence. So the short answer is a strong consensus of all contemporary poskim that I have seen who discuss the question. Strong consensus is that it is absolutely utter. There is a dispute as to whether the cheirim proper covers the case of verbal communications, non-written communication or not, but everyone agrees that at least because of the associated reasons, it is absolutely utter, in addition to the question of hezek ra'iyah that we discussed in the previous lecture. But Chen Ben Gershom itself and or these five associated, some of these five at least associated reasons are assumed to apply to eavesdropping, to intercepting even non-written communication. Two very interesting discussions of this point appear in the Piskei Din Rabbaniim, rulings of the Batei Din of the Rabbinate, cited by Professor Rockover. In the Piskei Din, Chelek Yudalad, there are two very similar cases. Both of them are divorce cases. In both cases, the husband had made a secret recording of the wife. which he wished to introduce to Beis Din. He felt that the information therein was incriminating and would support his petition for divorce. In both cases, the woman and her legal advisors were attempting to block introduction of these, what they felt were illegitimate recordings. They argued that the recordings violated the law, secular Israeli law, they violated halacha, and therefore the Beis Din should refuse to admit them, should refuse to listen to them. So the rulings of these dayanim discuss many things. They discuss whether the information contained in the recordings would carry any weight anyway in halacha in terms of the halachas of ages. They discuss, even if we assume that these recordings were in violation of various isturim, is that any reason for Beis Din not to accept them? And they both actually say no, that just because the husband may have violated an isur is not a reason for Beis Din to refuse to admit the recording. In America, we have the exclusionary rule that at least in a criminal case, if a government actor violates the privacy rights of a defendant, then any evidence gained thereby, or even indirectly, according to the rule of the fruit of the poisonous tree, will not be admitted. But that's in criminal cases, that has to do with government actors, and anyway, halacha has no such rule, the poskim argue at some length, just because an issur may have been violated is not a reason for Beis Din to refuse to pay attention to information, to evidence that they feel is relevant. But here we're focused on the initial question. Wasn't there indeed any issur violated by a secret recording made of someone else's conversation? And the dayanim involved, both of them say absolutely yes. One ruling is by Rav Avram Sherman, the other is by Rav Chaim Shlomo Rosenthal, and they both take for granted that the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom was indeed violated by surreptitious recordings made by husbands of their wives. Rav Sherman says, Barur she'ein hevdel ikroni, there is no difference in principle, bein havaras dvarim shel adam lezulaso, whether communication is made by one person to another, bemtos hamichtav, whether it's through a letter, or lehavaras dvarim bemtos a telephone, a machshir acher, or communication via telephone or any other piece of equipment. B'chol tamei ha'isser, all the reasons for the prohibition, shenasnu mefarshim lesser iyat michtav, against viewing correspondence, kayam gam b'yachas lazonas eiser, apply equally to eavesdropping, to secretly recording verbal communication. He brings Rav Chaim Palagi, he brings Rechilas, Talach Kitanas, he brings the Marchash. Incidentally, Marchash says that the Shol Shlomi Das, Gneva, he understands the Marchash as follows. He writes, Kol Meida Ishi, any personal information, Shal Adam, Yesh L'Bailas Elav. There's a question as to when the Marchash says that the Shol Shlomi Das in Gneva, whether he meant on the physical medium of the letter or he meant on the intangible information. This is a concept that's discussed in some detail in the halachic discussion of intellectual property. Does halacha recognize information as being an actual halachic thing or not? But Rav Sherman says, Meida Ishi, personal information, Yesh Lo Bailos Elav, a person has ownership of personal information, and that's what Marchash means, Ein Rishus Lezulaso, no one else has permission, Lekachat Meida Zu, B'nigil Ritzono, to seize this information against his will, Uvlo Yediyaso. And as an issur of Shol Shlomi Das, Gazlan, he seems to have understood that the Marchash meant that the Shol Shlomi Das in the Gneva was on the information, on the intangible information. Similarly, in the tshuva of Rav Chaim Shlomo Rosenthal, he makes essentially the same point. He says, Pashat HaDavar, Sheyesh LaHarchav HaDavar, we can extend the Cherem of Rabbeinu Gershom, which was written about, instituted about letters. V'lomar, again, Kishem She'aster Lirus K'sav Chaveiro, just as it is prohibited to view the written communication of someone else, Kain Oster Lahazim Besaser, it is similarly Oster to secretly eavesdrop Mashachaber Medaber, because Lachari says, again, the reasons that Achronim give for Chadrag apply to eavesdropping. He brings Rechayim Pelagi, brings the various reasons, Kol Zeh Shayach Gam Bahazana, this applies equally to eavesdropping. Then he discusses Marchash about Shol Shlomi Das, he seems to have understood that Shol Shlomi Das would have to be on the medium itself. He says Marchash was talking about borrowing, stealing the paper, the document itself. Here he says, Yesh Ladon in Bekol, on the voice, the sound waves, Shayach Zeh. Maybe there's no Shol Shlomi Das. Shalachar Rehol Vein Bekol Mamish, since Kol is not a tangible thing, audio, sound waves are not a tangible thing, Ein Bo Din Gezel, Moshe Ein Bo Din Me'ilav, Ein Kamakom Laharach. Dr. Rockover points out that while Rav Sherman seems to have understood that it's the Meida Ishi, it's the information that Marchash was worried about stealing, Rav Rosenthal seems to assume that it was the document itself, and therefore this particular reason of the Marchash, he's not sure whether it'll really apply to verbal communications, but in any event, even Rabbi Rosenthal takes for granted that the Cheirim in general will apply. Most of the other reasons, Rav Chaim Palagi's reasons, Halachi Tanis' reasons do apply, and therefore both these Ayanim took for granted that the Cheirim does apply even to secretly recording or eavesdropping on private conversations. This is also the opinion of Emek HaMishpat, Rav Avram Yaakov Cohen, the of Bnei Brak, Rav Yaakov Avram Cohen of Bnei Brak in his classic work on Shechinim. He also takes for granted that eavesdropping violates Cheirim Ben Gershom, but there's no difference between written communication and verbal communication. In our previous lecture, we pointed out that he was extremely opposed to scannerim and hackerim and computers and radio scanners and all kinds of monitoring. He was largely concerned with Hezekriah, Hezek Shmiah, but he's also concerned with Cheirim Ben Gershom. Also, the Sefer Binas HaShidduch by a Talmud of Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein also cites Rabbi Zilberstein as having been vehemently opposed to eavesdropping or to even the sale of eavesdropping equipment. He's not sure as much, or perhaps if it's dual use, if it has some legitimate use, maybe it's okay. It can be tola if they want it for legitimate use. But he also assumes that eavesdropping is usher, again, both because of the privacy concerns we discussed in our previous lecture, Hezekriah, Hezek Shmiah, as well as the Cheirim of Ben Gershom. And this is also the opinion of Rav Fish Fitz in his day for Mishpatat Torah. He says, Lefi time was Shalom Rabbeinu Gershom, who had been Shagam Hazanol Sichas telephone Shachavera Bizman Hazeh, listening to a phone conversation in contemporary times, Shachavera Eni Yodea, his friend doesn't know he's being eavesdropped on, it's Aser. It's included in the Cheirim. Because the same reason that applies to the Cheirim applies to any access of protected or information about which there is an expectation of privacy. Ein Kol Nafkamina, there's no difference Lefi time a Cheirim, Be'eza Ofen, Be'ekitimsi, Mu'avar Achomer, Be'achasi, Hakol Tali Bo Secherim exactly applies. However, he adds one caveat that Rabbeinu Gershom, he said, did not in general forbid eavesdropping on ordinary conversations, because there, he says, a person generally has no expectation of privacy. Just as we mentioned, the Meiri says in our previous lecture, there's generally no expectation of privacy on a face-to-face conversation, so that's why you don't need to build a soundproof wall, because we don't expect them to be conversing about sensitive things in public. So in general, a face-to-face conversation where you know people might be around, the assumption is that you will not be discussing anything personal. Of course, one could argue you don't expect people listening at keyholes, so if the conversation is inside, just somebody happens to be climbing a drainpipe or listening at a keyhole, maybe that would be different. But in general, Rav Spitz says, in a normal face-to-face conversation in traditional times, there would have been, he assumes, no expectation of privacy. The assumption is they don't care. That's why he says that when Yaakov wanted to talk to Rachel and Leah about fleeing Lavan, they went to the field, because it was his duty to avoid being overheard. Of course, one could argue he just knew that Lavan was an unscrupulous guy, and he thought Lavan might indeed be listening at keyholes. But in any event, Rav Spitz understands, similar to the Meiri, that in general, in a face-to-face conversation, there is no expectation of privacy. But a telephone conversation, he says, the conversationalists do have an expectation of privacy. They don't assume anybody will be wiretapping or scannering or other forms of scanning, other forms of eavesdropping on the conversation, and therefore the Cheirim of Ben Gershom will be violated by anyone who tries to eavesdrop. So all these poskim, Rav Sherman, Rav Rosenthal, Rav Zilberstein, Rav Spitz, Rav Cohen, all assume that the Cheirim does indeed apply to eavesdropping. There is, however, a dissenting view. The Sefer V'Darashta V'Chakarta by Rav Aaron Yehuda Grossman, actually, this is a letter he wrote to Rav Spitz, who had apparently published his view that the Cheirim applies to verbal conversations even before his Sefer Mishpatat Torah, and something called Alon Toda'ah, Parshas Re'eh, Tavshin Mendalad. And Rav Grossman is strongly opposed to the extension of the Cheirim to verbal communication. He says this is an unwarranted extension. He takes what we would consider in jurisprudential terms a strict constructionist, hyper-literalist view. He says, Lo matasi af makom, I have found no source, he says, shadimu milstol milstol b'chadrak. We don't find conceptual extensions of the Cheirim of Rabbeinu Gershom, the various charamim. Masha hechrim, exactly what he banned is banned. The sulo, we don't extend it. And he says, the language of the Cheirim and the sources that we have, as we noted earlier, is always ksav, ksav shesholech adam l'chavero. He says we have no right to extend the cheirim beyond ksav. You can't do that, he says. The cheirim is limited to what it actually says in the cheirim. And a similar position is taken in passing in the Shevet HaKehasi, Rav Shammai Kehas Gross. He also says that the cheirim does not apply to verbal communication. He says, Afal pi she'ein cheirim v'merin gershim ala shemesa dosef shel chavero. The cheirim does not apply to those who eavesdrop, listening, el arak, el haroach tzavav, only on those who view actual written correspondence. But in spite of their positions, they both agree absolutely that eavesdropping is absolutely forbidden for all the other reasons that we've seen that the post can stand in the context of the cheirim. Rav Grossman, in the end of his tshuva, says, after discussing why Rav Spitz is wrong for other reasons, the cheirim may not apply after Elef HaChamishi, a point which is beyond the scope of this lecture, other reasons, but in any event, he says, it's Osir anyway, it's Osir Midaraisa. He gives the reason, first of all, V'haftal Recha Kamocha, second, L'Selech Rachil Ba'mecha, the reasons that we've seen, third, Gnevas Das, and he says, V'vada Yisra Rishu Torah, forget the cheirim, he says, it's Osir Midaraisa. As we pointed out, it's not really so clear that all these reasons stand on their own. Certainly, V'haftal Recha Kamocha, Rav Chaim Palagi indicated was only a rationale for the cheirim, was not a standalone reason, and I've argued that it's difficult to really assume that as a standalone reason, the other two perhaps are more likely to be standalone reasons, Rechila, Sknevis Das. In any event, Rav Grossman says, forget the cheirim, it is an Isra Daraisa to listen to someone else's conversation. We don't care about Ashkenazim and Sfardim, regardless of who accepted the cheirim. These are Isurim Daraisa. They apply eternally, even after Elef HaChamishi. Not because of the cheirim, because again, these three Isurim, Gnevis Das, Rechila, and Avas Yisrael are being violated. Shevet HaKehasi is even more emphatic. He was asked, is it permitted for someone to maintain in his possession Machshir HaZana HaNikros scanner? Are you allowed to have some kind of electronic scanner for listening to conversations? Rav Gross, the author of the Shevet HaKehasi, is appalled at the question. Min haroi hayesh lo lahashiv klal shelos du. I shouldn't even be answering this question, he says. Pashir ubarer sha'asir lahachzik b'machshir hanogid es kol gidrei atznius. These violate all the norms of modesty, he says. Since, however, I've heard, he says, that Yeshma Pirta Binyan Zeh, there are people who are lax in this. The Emek Mishpat also, Rav Cohen, also said that there is a Pasasam Mispachat Machanenu. Even in our Hamish circles, he says, people use these scanners and people hack, he says. Many people, Rav Gross says, buy these scanners. I have to write many reasons why it's Oster. He says, first of all, people can overhear intimate marital conversations. No one is allowed to hear such things. He can hear Dvarim Hasurim, Venibal Peh, of Inshid Lamali, of people on a less than lofty spiritual stature. There's no merit to even hear Nibal Peh, he says. Additionally, he says, such conversations are Matamtim Esamach Valev. They disturb, they corrupt the heart and the brain, and so on. And he says, and even without all this, he says, in any event, it's usher to hear, it's usher to seek, to strive, to seek out the secrets of others. And even though he says, as we mentioned earlier, the cheirim itself would not apply, but the other reasons apply. He mentions Rechilas, the reason of the Alas Ketanas. He cites a Shulchan Aruch Harav. This harks back to our previous lecture on privacy and Hezekriah. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says, discussing Hezekriah, usher lehtakel ba'stakov amasav shel chavero, it is prohibited to gaze at the affairs of another. Even if there's no ayin hara, if a person is engaged in his own affairs in his own house, it is permitted to stare at him without permission. Maybe he doesn't want anyone to see his private affairs. Quote another passage of the Shulchan Aruch Harav: this violates modesty. Says Rav Gross. Oster lahazin l'sichas telephone shel acherim, it is prohibited to eavesdrop on the phone conversation of another. Anan tadi, there's a strong presumption, he says, sha'af echad eina chafet sh'yedim midvarim sh'diber b'tzina. A person has an expectation, a strong desire of privacy. He doesn't want people to know his private things. Then he cites the Peleyoitz. The Peleyoitz says, kama me'agnus v'hadofi, it's disgraceful, it's inappropriate, it's terribly disgraceful and inappropriate. The Yisura, it's actually forbidden. For osam and mechatatim and mechapsim leidasod acher, those who endeavor, who are zealous in trying to seek out the secrets of others, either by shmu acher akosel, listening from behind walls, what we call listening at keyholes, el psichas igeres. Then he cites the cherem from Meir Gershom. He's not writing, it's hard to know if he's writing rigorously halachically, but he does seem to suggest that the cherem, or at least the spirit of the cherem, does apply to listening at keyholes. Then he cites the Halach Ketanas, we'll see Halach Rachel, and the Peleoid concludes that there are terrible consequences from this kind of thing. Nafik Churba, Vesino, Ktata, causes Machlokas and hatred, Be'esh Lahavas and Machlokas, Olalein Marpe, the terrible fire of Machlokas, dissension, will rise, there'll be no healing it. Lachain Shomer Nafshar Yirchak Mikalela, one who guards his soul, who's careful of the health of his soul, will avoid all such things. Kitavas Hashem, such things are an abomination unto God, Kolo Te'ela, the Ashrei Timei Derech, happy, praiseworthy are those who are upright and do not engage in such practices. And Rav Gross therefore concludes, Mikol Hanal Ole She'Oster La'adam L'Hachzik Rishuso, a man may not maintain in his possession or to utilize such Machshir Hazana, the scanner, even someone else's, it's a violation of Tnius. And he concludes on a slightly positive note, the one constructive aspect of these devices, there are actually some poskim, or Zilberstein and others, there are actually some poskim who discuss whether eavesdropping would be permitted for a mitzvah, for chinna, for other reasons, but one positive aspect of these devices, one constructive use of them conceptually, says Rav Gross, is to inspire us to remember that God watches over us, ki Hashem Yisparach Yavi b'mishpral kol nelam, nothing is hidden from him, ein nistam reneged einav, and we have to remember that ayin roev ha'ozen shamat, but shomer pivul l'shonam ilazaber ba'ozen b'shma advar masurim, he who watches, who guards his mouth, his tongue from speaking, and his ears from hearing forbidden things, shomer mitzaras nafsho. So in summary, as we have seen, just as we've seen previously in the context of Hezekiah, the consensus, the strong consensus of poskim is that eavesdropping is a terrible thing and is absolutely prohibited. Many poskim say that it is prohibited. The cherem itself extends to cover eavesdropping. There is a minority of poskim who say the cherem itself does not apply, but everyone agrees that at least some of the reasons, rechilas, ba'atul recha kamocha, kneves das, possibly even shol shlomi das, and hezek, everyone agrees that at least some of these reasons, in addition to the concern of nevolpeh, machlokas, do apply to eavesdropping verbal communications, and this is absolutely prohibited. It is against the halacha and against the spirit of the halacha.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.